for people to pray to receive Christ as Savior and Lord and the Holy Spirit as well. And this prayer is guided by three terms: thank you, sorry, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying and rising for me. Sorry for my sins against you. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Could it be that simple? It is simple, and yet the most profound reality. So I ask you today, if you're listening and you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, then I invite you to pray this prayer after me, just as Nikki Gumbel has taught. Pray with me, would you please? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying and rising for me. I'm sorry for my sins against you. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If today was a day of decision, will you let me know so I can rejoice with you and share with you next steps in Christian discipleship? You can email me at missioncharlottesville@gmail.com. Thanks for listening today, and join with me next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. for another message from the pulpit of Mission Charlottesville. God bless you today and always.
Being tuned in means putting we the people back in charge. Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
Heal a broken heart. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm excited to have a conversation about faith, and this program is intended to be sort of your spiritual cup of coffee. On this show, we share faith journeys and testimonies that are intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you are a skeptic, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we like to do on this show. We like to share God's Word, and we hope that it blesses you. We have a scripture that we like to start the program with. Every week it changes. The scripture changes. It's sort of whatever I'm reading or whatever has gotten a hold of me. This week, I've just started again, and I'm just savoring it. It's the book of Romans. I'm in chapter 1. I can't get out of it. I love it. It's almost as if I've never read it before. But I'm going to read to you what Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Our guest today on the program could give this to you by heart, but I'm going to read it to you. It goes like this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." This is Everyday Faith Radio. We were just in the book of Romans. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with today's guest. We're going to talk about this and so much more. Please stay with us.
What is love? You can't buy it at the store, but it can be found. Love is when the sun warms the back of your neck. Love is leaves crunching under your shoes. Love is the salt off the ocean breeze. Love is a person. Love is a moment. Love is a place. And when you're ready, it's here, waiting to be found. Virginia is for lovers. Furnished by Virginia Tourism Corporation.
And then you're out of desperation. Do you not? not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program, it's the third week in a row with Chaplain Varaxa, Joseph Varaxa, who's the chaplain of the Charlottesville Regional Jail. We have so much to talk about. He had this huge event last weekend. I want to talk about your fundraising, your ministry. And so let me just first welcome you to the show, Joseph, because I get pumped up when you're on the show.
Thank you, man. I'll get pumped up when I come on the show. I get to talk to you, look at you on the screen. It's all good.
Awesome. Well, first, I'm really excited to talk about this Romans passage. I have a story, but I want to kind of pick your brain first. Romans chapter 1, focusing on verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let me just pause right there. Chaplain Varaxa, are you ashamed of the gospel? Or maybe can you go back in the history of your life and think of a time when possibly you were?
I don't know if I can think that far back as I get older. It seems like I've been a Christian all my life, although I know that's not the case. I don't know if I was ever ashamed. Pre-Christian, I was probably afraid, fearful of it in ways, but once saved, no, I can't say that I ever was ashamed of the gospel.
Okay, that's what I want to talk about, and I'm sorry, you're going to do most of the talking on the second part of the show. I need to inject a story at this part of the program, and it goes like this. Hold on, we have to pause for just a moment. As we were saying on Everyday Faith Radio, this past weekend, Chaplain Joe, I need to tell you about this experience and why this passage is so important to me right now in this period of my life. This past weekend, I was not able to make it to your event, the fundraiser for Good News Ministry that you had at First Baptist Church that we're going to talk about in just a second. I was down celebrating the graduation of my youngest daughter at Virginia Tech. Great weekend. Ooh. Everything went well. She graduated, very proud, awesome young lady. She's got a job in Northern Virginia. Great, great, great. All the boxes are checked. Now let me take you to the place where this passage intersects with my life. It was a long weekend. People today like to celebrate graduations. My wife and I and our other children, we're rolling with it. We get to dinner at her house that she lives in with, you know, there's probably 10 other young ladies in this house, their parents, extended family. It's a pretty good crowd. It's probably 75 people that are on the front lawn of this property. And here's where we go, Joseph. So we're getting ready. Food is being spread out. And I am starting to wonder, is anybody going to say a blessing? and so I'm just wondering. But as it comes, one of the mothers of the young lady that was living in the house, she comes over to my table as if she was sent on a mission. And she, you know, there was 10 of us at this table and we're all just kind of sitting around. And she goes, would any of you happen to be willing to say a blessing before we eat the meal? And so my hand just shot up because that is a that is now kind of what I enjoy to do. It's something that the Lord has challenged me to do is not necessarily have I been challenged to like go out and preach on the street corner, although I'm not afraid to talk about faith on the radio. But when asked, will I say a little prayer? And so here's where I need, I'm sorry for making this so long, but you need to understand this, Joe. So I said yes. And immediately the group that I was with, there was resistance. There were people coming up to me saying, you don't want to do this. You know, this is this is not a believer's, this is not a crowd of believers. This isn't church. That's, you're just going to embarrass your daughter. And really all I had in mind, Chaplain Joe, was, you know, I was going to do just a little baby blessing. I mean, just a blessed food and, you know, maybe pray for good health and protection for everyone there. And so all I wanted you to know was that was really like one of the first times that I felt, they talk about this. The Apostle Paul talks about how our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's a battle against spiritual darkness and wickedness. And the Bible goes on for multiple definitions of that. But I felt that, the spiritual darkness pushing back, trying to shut me down. Long story short, I just had a blessing. I'd never been so nervous, I think, ever. I felt my knees kind of cracking a little bit, but nonetheless. So then that's done. And I had several people that kind of came up and said, hey, thanks for doing that. And I was like, yeah, right, sure, right, good. But then I read this passage, and Paul writes, just kind of, to me, it feels emotional. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for all who believe. Yeah. So my next question to you, Chaplain Joe, is it the power of God, the gospel?
It is absolutely the power of God. And I don't know how you get around that. And just experiencing what goes on around me or around us at the time. I mean, how do you... I had a discussion this morning with some folks about book references and, you know, referring people to books to read. I'm like, well, what about the gospel? Right. About the Bible? How about that book? Let me go there. Let's go see what that looks like. I mean, it's absolutely the power of God. And, you know, the thing that you're feeling, I mean, that's real. I mean, it's easy for me. It's my title, pastor, chaplain. I'm expected to do that, but I've been in situations, people, I don't even have sometimes. One, if you're in my household, there's going to be a blessing. Doesn't matter where you're from, what background you are, what you look like, there's going to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. When I'm out with my family, doesn't matter. There's going to be a blessing. So that's my way of thanking God. I'm not trying to front it in front of everybody. I'm not trying to flaunt anything.
Right.
I'm sincere in my heart that I am thankful and I am grateful. And, you know, if people, they could just, I'm sorry, turn to look the other way if they don't want to look at me praying.
Yeah, and so for me at this moment, Chaplain Joe, you have to know that.
But someone asked you.
This is also a big life moment. So if ever there is an opportunity to say, hey, thank you, Lord. We've got some graduates here, and me specifically, thank you for help, you know, shepherding my daughter through college. Yeah. And today is a big moment. And so can we pause and give thanks? That was really the question, because what came at me was, don't do it. Don't do it. Sure. Don't do it. You don't want to do that. This isn't a place for that.
Yeah. But you were asked, and you know, that came from somewhere. It wouldn't be from the enemy who's telling someone to ask you to pray. So it was the after fact, after you already asked to pray, that all the resistance came, that you could tell it's coming from the enemy. So you did what was right. And that was, you were asked to do a blessing and you did it. That's all you're called to do. Your emotions may come into play. You may be fearful. We're all fearful at times, but you're standing firm in what you believe, and you're standing firm in a request that was made to you to ask a blessing. So kudos to you for doing
well. And I wasn't looking for the attaboy, right. But it's important coming from you, because you know, you are a close friend. So I accept it, but I wasn't looking.
You still had a choice, and you chose to go with us. You still could have chosen at that point, and you still did what you were asked to do. That's great.
I was also thinking, and I didn't look it up prior to this show, but there is a passage where Jesus says, essentially, if you acknowledge me before my Father, I'll acknowledge you. And if you deny me before my Father, well, you know, the same is coming back to you. I'm not sure the passage where which one that is. Perhaps one of our listeners can call that in. But that came across my mind too, is that, you know, where are you at this moment? Are you going to acknowledge or reject?
Yeah, it's in the Gospels. It's in the Gospels. I'm going to say some, probably Matthew.
Yeah.
Matthew, maybe 10.
No. Yeah, it maybe. But well, let's pick that up. We're going to take a quick break. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to talk about the event Chaplain Joseph Varaxa had for the Good News Ministry this past weekend. I'm very excited to get into that. We're going to take a quick break. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
Emotional pain and depression may indicate that someone is at risk for suicide, but the signs aren't always easy to see or discuss. Most people who take their lives exhibit one or more warning signs. Often the signs are subtle changes in mood, what they say, or how they act. Learn to recognize the warning signs. Suicide is preventable. Recognize it. Talk about it. Act on it. Learn more at recognizetalkact.org. A message from the Virginia Department of Health.
And in your hour of desperation, though you're not the only one, praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, our co-host, is what it feels like, Chaplain Joseph. Thanks for being on the show again. Joseph, tell us about your big event. I missed it, but I saw some photographs, and I knew from what I saw just, you know, on a little bit of social media, I knew it was going to be a powerful day. Tell me.
It was explosive. And I got to tell you, it was a total God thing, because I was up 4 a.m, day off, couldn't sleep. I got to church at 5:30. I didn't know who was going to show up for setup. You know, I got to get 16, 19 tables out there. And then I walk out of First Baptist into the parking lot, and I look to my left, and here's a carload of people, 20 people show up. At 6, I had no idea.
Wow.
Got the place set up in 45 minutes to an hour, so I was able to go home, get myself together, get dressed, get in thought, get in prayer, and then come back. Everything was completely done. When I got stage was set up, all the music, mics, everything was. I didn't do anything.
Hold on, let me interject this piece of nervousness so our listeners can understand. Your, I guess we'll call it boss, was there?
Vice President of Good News, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I'm feeling the pressure, especially that setup.
You know, he's coming to worship and, you know, look and see what's going on. We were supposed to have, we had it outside. We didn't put a tent up. It was spectacular. The new mandate with the mask lift had just come out. So everybody was unmasked. We followed protocol, but exactly the way the church wanted to. So it was actually a worship service. We had music and praise and worship. People in tears, praising God, singing together for the first time without, it was just unbelievable.
Wow, the timing of that. For the
unbelievable.
The unmasked mandate and your event happened at the same time. I know that's a good thing.
It was spectacular, and the sun just coming out. It was a gorgeous morning, and you could just see the worshipfulness in people and praising God. And then we had a inmate testimony that was explosive. And William Washington from the bridge gave a testimony about chaplains in his life and what that meant and how he came to faith with a chaplain. And George Morris came up and just, man, it was like a tent revival without the tent. And you're just like, wow, no, this is what this is about, what this ministry is about. We're the same team. And he mentioned it. He said, we're one race. We're the human race.
Mm.
We're the human race, period. God's people. And we need to, he talked about the presence of ministry, where we're at, no matter where we're at, it doesn't matter. You know, tired of hearing, well, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what God wants in my life. Baloney. The presence of ministry. There are a lot of things you can do. You can pray. You can be part of this. You can write people. There's so many things you can be part of the ministry. So he really hit on that as well. But just being together in worship, hearing testimonies, and here's the most powerful thing. It was afterwards when people I knew who were not Christian were there, talked about how powerful it was to them.
Mm-hmm.
That was days after the event, even a week after the event, people were still texting me, emailing me, talking to me. I'd never witnessed anything like that in my life. So powerful. So the testimony of the Spirit of God being there and the timing was just perfect. I don't know how to explain it. It was 90 minutes exactly, like planned. Food, like I told you, that we're going to run out because we were only registered for 75 people. Close to 100 show up, something like that, maybe over 90. The loaves and fishes thought was coming to my head, praying God would expand the food. And it was actually one plate left over at the end. And that was for me because I didn't eat in the beginning. It went right perfect. That's all I could tell you, Jeff. It was absolutely perfect.
So looking back on it, you can see the hand of God on that entire event.
From beginning to end. It was like I was there watching. I was explaining. I emceed the whole thing. I was the MC, introduced the people, but I don't remember really anything. Mm. People tell me what I said or what I spoke, but I really don't remember. It was like I was in the audience. I was a fan. I was watching the Spirit move. God moved through people, and people just their hearts opening up and praising and worshiping and confessing or whatever. It was just really, it was just outstanding.
Wow. It sounds incredible. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. We have Chaplain Joseph Baroxa with us on the program. We're talking about the event this past Saturday that he had at First Baptist Church, raising money, but also sharing the gospel, sharing testimony. Would you, Joseph, can you share a little bit about the inmate testimony?
Man, it was a person that I met while he was in there. I shared the story. I do remember this. He used to paint. Every morning I come in, he was painting the walls. I think he painted the entire interior of the jail. But it was his singing. He would be singing gospel songs and hymns while painting. And he never realized I used to hide behind the corner in that hallway just to hear him sing. Mm. And that used to start my day. Just listening to an inmate singing was powerful. And it was like God was not introducing me to this man as an inmate, but as a man made in the image of God. That's how he wanted me to see this guy. And that's how I introduced him before he got up to the stage. That's how moving it was to me. And then his testimony about where he was with drugs, his happened inside. And then when he got outside and got baptized, he's currently working, doing unbelievably well. We're in touch all the time. We're good friends. Met his kids. We pray together at my dinner table. Mm. So there's a whole powerful transformation in this man's life. But it was a village that surrounded him after he got out, a group of men that walked with him. Because the tough times were there when he got out. They walked with him and encircled him as his brother should and helped him become successful.
Let's talk about that for a second. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Talk to me from your perspective of the importance. He's out of jail and mm-hmm. and now he's got essentially a team of mentors that are helping keep him on track and hold him accountable. Yeah. How important do you think it was for him to have that type of ministry?
Critical, critical. Versus getting out of jail and hand him a piece of paper and here's a list of numbers to call if you want. Mm. No, he had no car, no license. He can't get a job. And, you know, you hand him a piece of paper. Instead, you're very intentional. And I use that word a lot. You want to be very intentional about helping people move forward. And that is around that person, male or female, with the village, in this case, the church, a group, a men's group or a woman's group in the church, a church or an organization to surround that individual and help walk that mile with them and help them as they, I'm not talking about handouts. I'm talking about shouldering up, helping carry up the hill when the stream gets strong, the current is strong and you get that life support. You got all that group. You got somebody could turn to you. You got people are walking with you. You're not alone. That's critical, man. I can't even express how important that is. Think about your own life. When you've got problems, people you can go to immediately, right? Or people you can call. There's always that person you can call to, but you don't have that. Your demons are knocking on your door, and the enemy's pounding on your door, trying to trip you up, and you don't have that support. Fail.
So let me ask you this, Chaplain Joe. If somebody's listening to the program right now, mm-hmm. and what you're talking about resonates with them, they have some talents, they have a little bit of free time, and they want to kind of join your ministry and in helping either accountability or do something to help you out, how can people get in touch with you? And are you looking for that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always looking for that. And I'm always looking for it in a sense that God's moving people in that direction. You know, I don't go out on a fishing expedition because this ministry is a call. You don't just choose and say, I'm going to do this. I don't believe that. I believe God calls a person to this type of ministry because it is special, it's unique, and it's tough. There are a couple of ways you can just call the jail at 434-977-6981 extension 51. That's my direct extension. Or on Facebook, just go to Good News Seville, and all the information will be there as well, how you can contact me by email. And that's, we could just, you know, and see which direction you're moving, how the Spirit's moving you, and see where we can go with it.
Nice, nice. Okay, so moving on that day, can you share any memory points about Pastor Washington or Pastor Morris, kind of what they were saying on that morning? And again, it may be a blur because it was such a supernatural morning for you. But is there anything that you want to touch on that our listeners would like to hear?
I think, you know, both of them, the presence of ministry, what's very important about basically people you come in touch with, you can minister to at any given time, many different ways. The importance, as William would say, of a chaplain, any chaplain, not just me in particular, what the significance of having a chaplain inside a facility like that, what it means, especially from him who was once an inmate, looking at a chaplain, what that meant to him, that person's presence alone was significant. Even when, William would say, I told that man, I want nothing to do with your God. But that chaplain remained steady, and that chaplain remained steadfast, and that chaplain remained present, regardless of what the words were coming out of William's mouth at that time as an angry man. And we hear that a lot, angry people. Presence, is just being there, makes a big difference. The fact that we're one human race, and we have to look at that instead of the visions that are occurring for whatever reason. I mean, well, you know, George Morris shouted this out, and his words exactly, he just said, I'm tired of race this, race that, and we're one race, period, under God, made in the image of God. We need to start thinking and looking like that, especially as Christian men, and bring people together and not bring division amongst people. Race itself, what does that look like? I thought that was really, really significant. That stuck out to me.
We're winding up the show, Chaplain Joe, but I'm wondering, this is kind of the last question, hearing Pastor Washington's testimony, mm-hmm. does that help strengthen you when you are working with inmates and thinking that, you know, you see Pastor Washington, who was once there and is now ministering to so many, does that help strengthen you to
know this? Yes, it's even more than that. I mean, the man's battle tested. The guy's a warrior. Okay, I'm a military guy. You're always looking, you're eyeing people up. Who are you going to follow in the battle? He's the type of guy you would follow in the battle. Mm. He's battle tested. He's a warrior. And you want to learn, you want to link up with a guy like that. And through our ministries, through the jail ministry I have in the ministry as a bridge, we have a direct line, a direct link. And then you bring in a George Morris, who's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, chaplain of UVA basketball, chaplain of, you know, the football team. But his presence alone as well, speaking at an event like this, now you've united three different organizations, three different nonprofits, let's say that way, that came together in one event, for one purpose, to get people to the table. Right?
Beautiful.
That's the mission. That is the mission, to get people to the table.
And Chaplain Joe, we've got to end the show, but trust me, you'll be back again soon. Might be 4 weeks in a row. But this is Everyday Faith Radio. Chaplain Joe, I want to pray for you, for your ministry, for all of our listeners. For my mother at Westminster Canterbury and all of her colleagues, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Chaplain Joe, keep up the great work.
Keeping you informed all weekend from the Automated Office System Studios on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV. AM and FM, Charlottesville.
News. I'm Karen McHugh. Tragedy in northern Italy as a mountaintop cable car plunges to the ground below. At least 9 people were killed. 3 others were taken to the hospital. The cable car was said to be very high off the ground in Italy's Piedmont region. Tropical storm Anna, the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season, is forming way out in the ocean.
It's mainly for shipping and marine interests. And what happens is the structure of the storm changes, and sometimes when they get this deep convection near the center long enough, they transition to a warm core system, which we become designated as a tropical storm rather than a subtropical storm. And that happens a lot with these systems when they transition from a frontal system to a subtropical. Sometimes they end up transitioning all the way to a tropical system.
Hurricane specialist Andrew Latto, Anna poses no threat to land. The official hurricane season doesn't begin till June 1st. America is listening to Fox News.
Your CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast. Sunday will continue to be hot and humid with pop-up showers during the afternoons, thunderstorms possible. Highs in the lower 90s. Sunday night, partly cloudy skies. It will be mild out there. The low will be down into the upper.